Commonwealth Transportation Board meeting, June the 20th, 2002.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everyone to our June meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. We had a very productive workshop session yesterday, longer than usual, that I believe and hope that will perhaps facilitate some of the items on the agenda today because of the preparation members of the CTB have had. We do, though, want to allow public comment. Even though we have had a series of public hearings prior to the adoption of the tentative six-year plan, and then the two public hearings that followed the last month's adoption of that tentative plan. In following the agenda, the first item is that period of public comment. There are some rules that relate to persons making appearances for the purpose of public comment. We will review those rules. It's not something I think that any of us feel particularly wedded to. It's just to bring some order and predictability to our schedule. But we do have listed one individual, Lauren Allred, and also I believe as a member of the Henrico County Board of Supervisors, Pat O'Bannon, who's also here. So I'd like to give those two people an individual to speak. I'd like to ask them, though, that they would limit their comments to 3 minutes or 5 minutes at the most, and I hope that that will be sufficient. And then after that, we will follow along the agenda as set out for us. So, at this point, Lauren Allred here.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to thank the board for giving me a few minutes to address the board. My name is Lauren Allred, and I'm the president of the Pohick Village Homeowners Association. And our property is in Morton, Virginia, at the southern end of Fairfax County. And it borders Route 1 on one side. The longest side of our project borders Route 1. And we've been directly affected by one of the projects, which is the widening of Route 1 at between Telegraph Road and Lorton Road. I believe it's Project 12906, I think, is the right project for that. The purpose of me taking just a couple of minutes this morning is to express our concerns, our community's concerns about the delays in the project. Just to give you just a real quick update on the project, if you're not all familiar with it, many of you I'm sure are. The project was begun a couple of years ago, and when they began the project, of course, they purchased some property. They have since boarded up several buildings along Route 1, right across from the Pohick Church, which is an historic church. And they've also purchased some of our property, and in so doing, the next phase in the project was to then relocate the utilities. And in relocating the utilities, they have removed we had a natural sound barrier there and a natural visual barrier with trees and bushes, and that has been removed from our property. And that happened about a year ago. And of course, with the shortfalls in the budget, I know that there are shortfalls, and everyone across the Commonwealth has been affected. With these shortfalls, our project has also been put on hold. And one of the reasons was because Fort Belvoir didn't give them a permission to do part of the project in a soon enough fashion, so it was put on hold and we got thrown back in the hopper with all the other projects that were hit by the shortfalls in the budget. We have a couple of compelling reasons why we are asking the board to give highest priority to the completion of this project. And there's one page handout that came out to you, and I just want to go through those really quickly. The first reason is we feel like we've been left somewhat hanging, and we've lost our sound barrier, we've lost our visual barrier, and now our homes along the longest edge of our property are now exposed to the heavy traffic on Route 1. And we've had of course, increased sound without the trees and the bushes there, and also people can look right into our homes and right into our property along Route 1, because they relocated the utility poles and they had to take out a whole strip of trees and bushes. The other issue has to do with the abandoned buildings that are adjacent to our property and straight across from the Pohick Church. I counted 7 buildings. These buildings have all been boarded up now, and they're very unsightly. It's an eyesore to the community. We have a historic church just across the street from us there. It's the Pohick Church. Many of you may know that George Washington, George Mason, and George William Fairfax were all vestrymen at this church, and so it's an important historic site in Fairfax County. And it's really unsightly to have these boarded up buildings there, waiting for this construction to be completed. And then the third reason I give here is that, of course, that the widening of Route 1 is important to provide an alternate traffic route for people. Whenever there's a problem on I-95 or a problem on Route 1, it becomes a very important corridor there to get to the Pentagon and back and forth to Fort Belvoir. So those are the reasons I have laid out here. And I did have one question. I'm not sure exactly where we are in the process of prioritizing. I know I went online last night. Well, let me just say first, originally we were told by the engineer that's over this project, Mr. Sheehan, one of VDOT's engineers, that the project had been postponed and we wouldn't have a bid on the rest of the construction until August of 2006. And we felt that that was far too long. I just do want to say I went on board online last night and checked the plan, very nice website, checked the plan, and it looks like this project is scheduled for 2003. And I wasn't quite sure what that meant, so I did have a question. What is, when it says 2003, is that it's been budgeted for 2003 or the project will be bid in 2003? I wasn't sure about that. And then the other question I had was, is there another chance that the project can be reprioritized and given even higher priority than it has been given in the plan?
Mr. Allred, I think on page 134 of the program before us, it has reference to South Lorton Road, North Telegraph Road, with construction to commence this fall.
Scheduled to start in October of this fall. Well, good. Maybe my
shows you how prescient we are.
That's good. So it is scheduled to begin construction in fall. Does that mean that's the time the bid will go out for the work? They call it the advertisement, I guess.
And it should be complete in the winter of 2004-2005.
Okay, 2004-2005, the winter. The construction will resume or begin this fall. Fall of 2002.
Should be before the end of the year.
Construction. Well, good. I appreciate that. It looks like people looked at that and saw that the project had already begun and decided that was one of the priorities. Thank you very much.
Thank you for making the trip. Ms. O'Bannon.
Good morning, and thank you, Secretary Clement. I should point out that this morning, as is a result of several days' worth of phone calls and emails and other reasons, I felt I was compelled to be here, and I would say I thought I would be propelled here by my own constituents were I not to speak to this body. I want to thank you for speaking with me already this morning, because after a radio interview earlier today by one of the gentlemen sitting here, well, Mr. Cornblow, I received was bombarded already with phone calls this morning, so I appreciate you allowing me to speak. Thank you very much.
Mr. Secretary, can we have
I am Pat O'Bannon.
Yes, just a minute.
Yes, sir.
Please give us your name and your title for the record.
I am Pat O'Bannon. I am the Tuckahoe Magisterial District Representative on the Henrico County Board of Supervisors. And the question always comes up, so I'll go ahead and say it. My husband is Delegate John O'Bannon. As you already know, in Henrico County, we're one of only two counties in the state that own, operate, and maintain our own road system. And our system, by the way, is the third largest in the state. First you have VDOT, then you have Virginia Beach, then you have Henrico County. We're the third largest. We have problems in our county, but when it's a county road and a county road, we can correct an intersection such as that. Where we have our problems are with intersections with state primary roads. We have no state secondary roads in our county. The worst of these problems is at the intersection of Parham and Patterson, which is what has precipitated this request from me. The citizens who use that intersection are the ones who have responded to this. In surveys that have been taken, in traffic surveys that have been taken, and so on, there have been many meetings up until now. This is a major concern for our entire area, but for the many citizens, not just in my district and not just in Henrico County, but in the surrounding counties, also consider this a major problem. This project, the improvement at Parham and Patterson's interchange, had been allocated $30 million with last year's General Assembly, and this money has been removed with this session. And this is very confusing to me, because if that meant it was that significant a priority by the General Assembly, then why is it not a priority now? It is not on the list. I realize that this type of planning isn't an exact science, but I also realize that this type of major project will take more than 1 or 2 years. It is not on the plan for 6 years. This is the major concern. Parham Road, by the way, holds the distinction of being part of the national highway system. That puts it on a par, almost on a par, with the interstate system. It takes a lot of traffic. So we have this problem now at the intersection of a national highway system roadway and a state primary roadway, and it is your responsibility to help us continue the process. As I said, right now it's totally off the list. This is why the phone calls I received, the emails, and so on, and as I said, my own constituents offered to drive me down here en masse. I said, no, that's okay, I can find my way. But if we had to come through the intersection, I'd probably be about 20 minutes late. So thank you very much, and I appreciate your time. I can answer any questions if you have them.
Any questions? Thank you. All right. Thank you, Ms. O'Bannon, for taking the time to be with us. The next item is the approval of the minutes of the May 16 meeting.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
They moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of May 16. All in favor? Any comment? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item, committee reports. First, I'd like to call on Barbara Reese on the Financial Planning and Debt Management Division.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Behind tab 4 of your book is the resolution that would adopt the fiscal year 2002-2003 annual budget for the Virginia Department of Transportation. I would hope that you would choose to do so.
So moved.
Move for approval, Mr.
Second.
Chairman.
Been moved and seconded. This is, of course, one of the items we went over in detail yesterday. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Commissioner Chiquette, action on the 6-year program.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Good morning. It's good to see everybody again. Behind tab 5 is the resolution to adopt the 6-year program. I know this has been a somewhat tiring, somewhat aggravating process for everybody here. We've had to remove $3 billion worth of projects from this program, 166 projects. The simple truth is that $3 billion was never there. It's been painful. A lot of people are making a lot of sacrifices in terms of projects that have been removed from the program. However, it's my pleasure to recommend to you the adoption of the resolution behind tab 5 for the 6-year program.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Been moved and seconded we adopt the 6-year plan in final form. Any discussion? Mr. Kornblau.
While I support the plan in its form today, and as
as we talked about yesterday, it being austere in nature. As I look out into the fifth and sixth year of our program in the Richmond District, there are no projects that are scheduled to happen in the fifth and sixth year in our district. We will continue to pay off projects that are being done now because we don't have the funds to pay for them now. It's painful. It's been painful for me. It's been painful for the constituents in the Richmond District. The Patterson and Parham intersection, 360 widening projects, they're all gone. And it's painful, but this is something that we have to do. We have to provide a doable plan, and I'm all for it, and I just wanted to make those comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to say that I wanted to thank you, Commissioner Shugrat, for the hard work that you've put into this plan. And if people want more projects, there's going to have to be an income stream coming in to transportation, because if you don't have the money, you can't fund it. And I don't know where the income stream's going to come from, but unless revenue goes up, and it's certainly everything that I've seen from DMV, it's coming down, and unless it goes up, and people are going to want more and more projects in these areas. We really need some more money in order to do these, or maybe to take some of these off the shelf.
Thank you. Any other, Mr. Burke?
I'm going to support the six-year plan. As the folks that were here speaking about their projects, their respective areas, I'm sure each and every one of us could have brought busloads of people in to get there at that podium and express concerns over projects that have been eliminated or delayed or whatever all over the state. I really believe that we're at a time, and we need our General Assembly, we need our Transportation Board, our Secretary, our Commissioner. They're going to have to take a hard look at this debt service on these friends. We can't keep going this route, in my opinion. What it's doing, what it does to the individual districts, something's got to change here. And obviously, we do need some other revenue streams out there to help us. And Secretary Clement, Commissioner, I would call upon y'all and Barbara and whatnot, take a hard look at our cash balances. From the reports that I saw yesterday, they look fairly good to me. And I guess what I'm looking at is we're about 11 to 12 days away from the end of the fiscal year. And if we have some maneuverability there in our cash, and as you recreate the cash flow for the agency to make some changes, that I think we ought to look at it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other comments? Any other discussion? Motion is on the table to adopt the six-year plan. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Paul. Next, from the Secondary Road Division, Jim Gibbons.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Items tab 6 on your agenda is the action on additions and abandonments in the secondary system for the month of May. I think the net change in the system was an additional 13.6 miles was added.
I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The item number 7 on the agenda, Mr. Chairman, is action on discontinuances in Spotsylvania, Shenandoah, and Warren counties. If there are any questions, I'll try to answer those.
Move for approval.
Second. Been moved and seconded to adopt the resolution in the tab 7 on the discontinuance of certain roads in the secondary system. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next item on the agenda, Mr. Chairman, is action on industrial access projects. We have reviewed all of these projects with the Access and Ground Transportation Committee. We're recommending an industrial access allocation for the town of Withville, another industrial access allocation for James City County. We're recommending a deallocation for the Walmart stores in Louisa County, and we are recommending an allocation for Jefferson Supply in Louisa County. I would point out that we plan to bring the Walmart allocation back at the next meeting. There has been a change in the traffic impact analysis on that facility, and we're not in a position to recommend the allocation at this point.
Mr. Chairman, we discussed all these items this morning in the Access Roads Ground Transportation Committee. Unless there's questions of Mr. Gibbons, I'd like to recommend that you take these as a block, and I would make a motion for approval.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor adopting the proposed resolution on industrial access projects, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm going to ask Ms. Brown to do the revenue sharing allocation.
Good morning, Mr. Good Chairman, morning. Members of the board. We have two items that we're requesting your approval of this morning, both relating to our revenue sharing program. The first item is the fiscal year 2002 supplemental revenue sharing allocation. Each year, after the third quarter, we assess whether or not all of the localities that are participating will be able to utilize those funds, and those that are not, we use that excess money. We make it available to all localities that requested the maximum. This request is for the 13 counties that expressed an interest in using the supplemental money, and we are requesting your approval of the supplemental to those 13 counties.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt that motion. Resolution set forth there. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. The second revenue sharing item is a revenue sharing reallocation. Whenever a locality decides they want to switch the project that was identified for revenue sharing, it does require CTB approval. So we have three counties that have expressed a need to change their projects, and we are asking your concurrence in reallocating for those three counties.
Move approval.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Next, Traffic Engineering Division, Larry Caldwell.
Good morning. Traffic Good morning. Engineering has four items for your consideration today. These were reviewed this morning with the Access Roads and Ground Transportation Committee. Agenda item 10 is a request to change the signing policy for right-of-way of pedestrians and crosswalks. There already is a policy by the board that provides for signing for right-of-way of pedestrians and crosswalks and allows for the localities to install and maintain these signs as designated in the state code. The legislature passed at this last session additional localities that are allowed to maintain these signs, and in the new localities, VDOT maintains the roads. So the requested change to the policy is for the localities to get a permit from VDOT before they install the signs.
Mr. Chairman, you want to take these four items in block?
Yes. Any questions on that presentation about the signs?
So this, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. So the change you're saying is that you're going to require the localities to come to VDOT to get permission before they. Before they install these signs?
Before they install sign on the VDOT maintained roads, they would get a permit from VDOT.
And we don't, that's not the policy, that's not the current policy.
The policy does not call for the permit today. The localities that were allowed to install these signs were the City of Alexandria and Arlington County, which maintained their own roads. And the counties or the localities that were added by the recent legislative action are Fairfax County, Loudoun County, and City of Fairfax. So Fairfax County and Loudoun County, VDOT maintains those roads. And we would like for them to get a permit before they install the signs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
How does this impact, I was just reading the criteria about the population and whatnot, how does this impact the small towns? And what I'm getting at here, I live in a little town of Chatham, and we got this little local deal that as a common courtesy, as you come through town, the crossovers is there, if somebody's there, you stop and let them go through. How does that impact small town? They don't qualify for these.
The small towns do not qualify under the state code for this particular sign. This sign is for motorists to yield to pedestrians in the crosswalk, and it establishes the fine at between $100 and $500. So the distinction on this is the sign with the fine noted
on
it.
But it also says that that the governing body of any county, having the county manager plan a government, which most of them have, but it doesn't apply to the small towns. Is that?
It's my understanding that it does not apply to the small towns. As far as the county having the county manager plan of government, it's my understanding that that particularly applies to Arlington County, and they've added in the recent legislation counties that had the urban county executive form of government, and that would be Fairfax County. The recent legislation also specifically identified Loudoun County in the City of Fairfax.
Okay, thank you.
And then why is the City of Fairfax included and not let's say the City of Manassas?
Because they didn't ask for it.
The legislation passed in the last session specifically identified City of Fairfax, County of Loudoun, and county having the urban county executive form of government. That's how the legislation was worded.
I thought every time I make a crosswalk and across a street in the City of Manassas, they got signs there saying that yield to the pedestrians.
I could put up a fine on it too.
But the distinction on this one is that the fine is between $100 and $500.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we'll take them in the block if there's no objection. Next one is action on through truck restrictions.
This is a request by Fairfax County to restrict through traffic by trucks on Route 6055, which is Flat Rock Road. It is a quarter mile in length. The alternate route is 54 hundredths of a mile and would take an additional 21 seconds to drive. The county held public hearing. Public notice was published. We received two comments in support. No comments were opposing the truck restriction. The Virginia Trucking Association was contacted but had no comment on this. The board has five criteria that they consider in establishing truck restrictions and prefer that at least three are met, and in this case, four are met. Are there any questions?
Okay. Next one, number 12.
Agenda item 12A is a request from the town of Occoquan to establish one-way travel on certain streets and provide for angle parking on portions of Mill, Ellicott, Commerce, Union, and Washington Streets. The town had a shortage of parking spaces in this area. They hired a consultant to study the best way to expand parking. They held public meetings, have made this proposal. It's been endorsed by Prince William County Board of Supervisors. It's been reviewed by VDOT District and Central Office Traffic Engineering staff, and we endorse it as well.
Okay, just a question on that. How many more parking spaces did it give them?
It depends on the final design. We expect it to be between 100 to 150 spaces.
Additional spaces.
Additional spaces in that two-block area. Okay. Item 12B is a request from York County to be able to restrict parking on designated secondary highways. Under Section 46.2-1222 of the State Code, York County, among certain other counties, are authorized by ordinance to restrict parking on secondary highways, provided that approval has been obtained from the Commonwealth Transportation Board. VDOT has worked with the county to develop the zoning ordinance, and York County did adopt the ordinance on June 4th of this year. The ordinance is contained in your packet. It identifies designated roadways where parking would be restricted to commercial, certain passenger carrying vehicles. Any change to the ordinance would have to come back to the Commonwealth Transportation Board.
We've been discussing and working on this with York County for the past 3 months in the Access Roads and Ground Transportation Committee, and Larry and staff has done a really good job working with them on this, and so it's my pleasure to move that we approve all four items.
I second.
We present.
All right. Moved and seconded. Discussion.
Question on 12A again.
On 12A?
12A. This is an incredible increase in parking, using really the same parameters of area that they had before. There is no destruction of the streets. It's a matter of restriping the roads and doing some minor changes to that as well.
It also involves changing from two-way to one-way traffic on certain roads so that you can get the angle parking in.
No, but I applaud this concept. There's no reason why, frankly, we don't look at this as an opportunity, especially when you try to do these urban areas, to rather than take more land, create more parking here. We've got a good solution here, if I'm looking at this right, especially when you get in these historic areas, or frankly, why don't you even do new areas for as a standard? So I hope that we see more of this in the future and try to get people to do this more often, because it does seem to work. One-way traffic is not bad. I understand it has its issues, but this is a great increasing something by that amount of parking spaces without having, if you had to put 100 to 150 parking spaces, you'd need acres of land to do that. So it's a great solution here. That's my only, it was a statement more than a question.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor of adopting the four proposed resolutions from the Traffic Engineering Division, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Turning to page 4 on the agenda, item 13 on action on surplus property, Rosemary Jones.
We have four items on the agenda this morning. All four items are very routine. They're conveyances to adjacent property owners, and we therefore recommend your approval.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we take these four items as a block. I move for the approval.
Been moved and seconded. Take these four different parcels in a block on the resolution, on the proposed resolution. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Charlie Rasnick from the Urban Division on quarterly street mileage payments.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you have in item 14 the changes for the urban street mileage in the towns of Abingdon, Ashland, Bridgewater, Grottoes, Herndon, and Vienna, and in the cities of Chesapeake, Danville, Emporia, Lynchburg, Martinsville, Newport News, Norfolk, Portsmouth, Roanoke, Stanton, and Virginia Beach. These are routine changes that we make to the urban inventory based upon either additions from subdivision streets or project adjustments once they are a project is in place, and we recommend your approval of these urban system changes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt the resolution on these quarterly. They're all separate resolutions on the quarterly street mileage payments. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, Phil Baker, Environmental Division, action on Virginia byways designation.
Good morning. For Route 721 in King, Queen, and Caroline counties,
All procedures have been followed in accordance with 33.1-62 of the code. A resolution of support was received from both of those localities, and so therefore I'm asking the board to include Route 721 into the Virginia Byway System.
Move to approve.
You want to do these? Is that the only one?
Yes.
Okay, they moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to adopt Route 721 byways? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Next, Frank G., Acting Chief Engineer on bids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, members of the board. I have 22 contracts at approximate value of $29 million for your consideration this morning, and I'll run through the pages for you with, and point out some things associated with each some of them. On page one is the primary system. You note we didn't have any interstate projects this month. Page one and two are the primary systems. All those on page one, we recommend award. On page two, I would point out that this was a coal severance funded project. And as you recall, yesterday we had been advised by Buchanan County that they did not have the funds available to fund this particular project and asked that we reject all bids. Then when they do have funds, they will come back to us and we'll re-advertise this particular project. Pages two and four are the secondary projects. It's nothing unusual on page three. On page four, I would point out that the project at the top of the page, J90, this is the second time that we had advertised for bids, and we have a $347,000 savings over this time, over last time when we had bids. So we are recommending award of it at this time because it is within our price estimate. The last two projects on this page are also projects that similar to the first one in the primary system. They were coal severance funds from Buchanan County, and the county advised us that they would ask that we would delay that because of not having the funds available.
Yes. Frank, I probably should ask you this before, but if I don't do it now, I'll forget. Is there something we can do to better anticipate these situations? I mean, it costs us money to advertise and accept bids and reject bids. Is there some line of communication maybe we could do a little work?
Yes,
on
we can work on it. The county at the time that asked us to proceed felt like they would have the funding, but of course when they started seeing what their revenue were, they did not realize they did not have enough dollars coming in to fund these.
Okay. Thank you.
Frank, I want to thank you and the department, Mr. Secretary, these two items on the first page in Pennsylvania County. Four turning lanes and crossovers there in the county. Broswell Volunteer Fire Department, the New Blouse Volunteer Fire Department. Those four little things are nothing more than just examples of little small things in the community that kind of bind the community together. And I want to tell you, these folks appreciate that small allocation, but in my opinion, it makes a big difference in the community.
Page five is the One Urban Project with the City of Portsmouth. We recommend award of that contract. Page six are two miscellaneous contracts. We recommend award of the first one, but we recommend rejection of the second one. That is a bridge painting contract. This is the second time we've advertised it. We still feel like the bids are too high. In looking at the contract and how we developed it, you'll see that it involves six counties. We want to go back and repackage the contract to put it in either two counties or three counties as either two or three contracts with the hope that we can get better bids since the contractor will not have to move to many locations and hopefully the moving costs will be minimized and that we'll get better prices on it. So we intend to go back out with that contract very quickly. Page seven is what I think, I said this last month, is the last contract that was held over from the contracts that we were holding back in December, January, and February. You see the bids were received December the 18th. This particular contractor advised us because of our delay in executing the contract, he did not feel like he holds prices. So therefore, we are recommending we rescind the award that was made in December, and then that we reject all bids because the other bidders were not within what we feel like appropriate prices. We intend to re-advertise this in July to get it back in place. And I think this is the last one in which is associated with those 140-some projects that we delayed at one point in time. On page 8 is a contract that the Capital Regional Airport Commission took in bids on. You would note that they took in bids on June the 29th, 2000. The Airport Commission has been holding for some time to resolve some issues. There are only $900,000 of VDOT funds associated with this $4.8 million contract, but they still need our concurrence in order to proceed with the award, and we would ask, they have worked out the issues that they needed to work out, and would ask for your concurrence in proceeding with the award of that contract. Page 9 is a contract that the town of Reedville took in bids on. We recommend award of that contract. Page 10 is a contract that the city of Portsmouth took in bids on April 25th, 2002. We recommend award of that contract. Page 11 are bids that the city of Richmond took in bids on May the 2nd. We recommend award of that contract. Page 12 is bids that the town of Mount Jackson, Virginia took in bids on May the 9th, 2002. I would point out that of that $1.8 million contract, there are only $267,000 of VDOT funds associated with it. The remainder of the funds are coming from other sources for the Tourist and Welcome Center, but we would recommend the award of that contract. Page 13 is a contract that our Administrative Services Division took in bids on involving a roadway weather information system, and we would recommend award of that particular contract. It's in the Stanton District, for the Stanton District. Page 14 is a contract that the Bristol District took in bids on for the replacement of some components for overhead message signs. And since that's coming out of construction dollars, it needs your concurrence in the award, and we'll recommend award of that contract. Page 15 is a contract that the Administrative Service Division through the Bristol District took in bids on for hired equipment to supplement state equipment in doing small incidental construction, some maintenance jobs, and some revenue sharing projects on a per hour basis. And page 16 is a project that the Cape Charles Historical Society, the town of Cape Charles, took in bids on. We would recommend award of that particular contract. In addition, there's one other item. If you recall, I mentioned yesterday at the workshop concerning a design build contract for the New Kent Rest Area. I handed out a sheet yesterday associated with that particular contract, recommending the award of that particular contract to WC English Incorporated for $6,980,000. Since this is a design build contract and I felt like you may desire some additional information, I have Cindy Ward here from our maintenance division with a photograph of what it looks like, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have concerning it if you do have questions. But we would recommend award of that particular contract.
Between this and item and the item on Mount Jackson, at the time of Mount Jackson, is there an appreciable difference between the two designs? Or I see that this is a welcome center at the new item that you walked on, and this is a tourist and welcome center at Mount Jackson. Are they similar?
I think that this is a much larger facility with a significant, and I'll let Cindy answer that question.
Currently in Virginia, we have 10 facilities that are combined with rest areas that are VDOT operated and state maintained facilities that are operated through the Virginia Tourism Corporation. I believe the project that you're speaking of, the Mount Jackson Visitor Center, is a local visitor center.
Oh.
They're handled differently and they're operated locally within, and some even have regional centers.
This one, okay, so it's different. This is a VDOT design.
This is a VDOT design, state maintained facility.
And the one that's in Mount Jackson is a locally designed.
It's a local facility.
Okay.
Locally operated.
If I may say something, the Visitor and Tourist Center, that's ICE-T money that I have given them over a couple of years, and a lot of private money has been put into the Visitor Center and the Tourist Center.
At Mount Jackson.
At Mount Jackson, but this is for the rest areas.
Okay, very good.
Toby?
Actually, I was just scratching my nose.
Sorry.
Actually, I might as well.
Well, you know, I just sort of, I don't like to go by you without recognizing.
Well, actually, you know, Kenny remembers these discussions and ideas about how we deal with these rest areas. I know there's some procurement issues and legal issues as it relates to this, but privatizing some of these kind of rest areas along interstate routes, much like what Delaware, New Jersey, and other states do, for not only using it as a revenue source rather than a revenue rather than expense. So I hope one day we get back to that discussion and look at the opportunities to explore that concept. And I think that the quality of service you'll find will be pretty high, and the service you get there for people, and it becomes more of a revenue source for the state rather than an expense to the state too. And I appreciate you. I'll have to remember that.
Wouldn't have been right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I was rudely interrupted by my colleague over there, I'd like to complete my question. My final question. Bottom line was: Are these on the shelf? Are they already designed? Aren't they already designed?
No, actually, the design-build process that we're utilizing, the design is part of the evaluation. They have a list of architectural criteria that they must meet, minimum requirements for square footage of specific room sizes and amenities that they have to meet. But the actual artist rendering is individual per team.
Oh, I thought they were on the shelf, and all we had to do was pull one off the shelf and go ahead and do it. Okay.
Actually, what we are hoping to be able to do is we have the Mecklenburg project, which we just completed, which is a rest area and state welcome center. The New Kent facility is only a rest area and small information available center. It's just general information. We're hoping to be able in the future, depending upon the size, to use these as prototypes. That way we would already have the benefit of the design.
That was where I was headed with that, Mr. Commissioner. So, all right. Thank you very much.
We use the design build method in Bracey also, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Did it work? It worked out real well, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And this project is sorely needed, and it is funded in the 6-year plan. Definitely support it.
Right, any other questions? Do I have a motion to accept these recommendations in block?
Move to approve.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded that we accept the recommendations, both with respect to accept, reject, and rescind, as has been recommended. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Item 17, action on consultant agreements. Peyton Carney.
Secretary, I'll have to make sure that if you ever go to an auction that you're not the caller, so I scratch my nose. I got a bid there.
Good morning. Item 17A is the Pinner's Point Technical Consultant Engineering Inspection Contract with the firm of Parsons Brinkerhoff, deferred from the May meeting, which will provide inspection of items associated with the Pinner's Point Interchange, the Midtown Tunnel, and the Hampton Road Smart Traffic Center. Under the existing Pinner's Point construction contract, inspection includes the closed circuit television surveillance camera, gate systems, variable message signs, fiber optic cabling, the electronic components associated with the truck weigh station, and the computer control lane use signals. Under the Pinner's Point hardware software contract to be advertised in July 2003, this inspection team will provide assurances that the hardware and software provided will accommodate the various systems being installed by the Pinner's Point construction contract. This inspection team will monitor the equipment installation schedule of each contract, including coordinating with the existing system integrator for the Smart Traffic Center. Also included in this contract is a review of shop drawings and catalog cuts for the field equipment provided, review of test procedures and specified documentation, attending factory demonstration tests, and monitoring of all required testing. The district inspection staff nor the existing district-wide consultant roadway construction inspection contract staff possess the expertise required for the inspection of the components associated with the Hampton Roads Intelligent Transportation System or the Midtown Tunnel Facility. Inspection of roadway items associated with the Pinner's Point contract is provided primarily by the department inspection staff, supplemented by the district's existing construction inspection contract. This is a cost plus net fee contract having a maximum compensation of $1,954,551, providing one senior inspector and two regular inspectors. The percent of construction costs provided in your contract information packet is based on the cost of the intelligent transportation system and tunnel related items associated with the existing Pinner's Point construction contract and the anticipated cost of the hardware and software contract to be advertised in July 2003. With the involvement of the central office and district staffs doing contract negotiations for this contract, a total of 12,153 work hours were reduced from the contract's original proposal. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Mr. Secretary, if y'all recall, we, including myself, had some questions about this contract at last month's meeting. I met with Mr. Carney and reviewed in some detail the scope of work as well as our negotiations, and am satisfied. First of all, we do not have this expertise in-house, and it's not expertise that's coming through the contract for the hardware and the software. We need the inspection services to make sure that this system not just works at Pinner's Point, but works with the total integrated traffic management system in the Hampton Roads area. The negotiations, I think of myself as a pretty tough negotiator, and I was very pleased to see how we had negotiated the scope down to the minimum that was required and the appropriate price along with that, and I would urge you to consider positively the request to approve this this agreement.
Secretary, I move to approve the contract.
No, we take this separate. Been moved. Do you have a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion on the proposed resolution to enter this contract? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next one.
Item 17B is a fixed billable rate consultant inspection contract with the firm of Dewberry & Davis, providing technical inspection services for various projects throughout the Northern Virginia District. This contract is for a period of 3 years and has a maximum compensation of $5 million. This fixed billable rate on-call contract provides for a maximum of 5 senior inspectors and 13 regular inspectors doing peak construction operations, again providing an expertise the district inspection staff does not possess in the inspection of intelligent transportation systems and related components. Additional services to be provided when requested by the department may be the review of shop drawings, notice of intent analysis, and CPM review. It is anticipated that various regional signal system upgrade projects, upgrades to the existing traffic management systems in Northern Virginia, and the intelligent transportation system associated with the Woodrow Wilson Bridge will be assigned to this contract. Any questions?
Yes. Well, Mr. Commissioner, did you review that one too? That's $5 million.
Yes, I did. This is an on-call services, Ms. Welch, which means that we are able to basically procure the capability and availability of these services when and where we need them, and also gives us the ability to negotiate scope and price on sort of a
task order basis.
This does not mean that somebody has a blank check to spend $5 million.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on this consulting agreement? All in favor of the proposed resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Mal Furley from the Structure and Bridge Division.
Good morning. I have one contract for you today. It's for design of two bridges at the interchange of I-64 and I-295 in western Henrico County. The estimated cost is $12.6 million. The successful consultant is Dim Jim Harris, and the maximum compensation is $1,721,000.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the adoption of this proposed resolution from the Structure and Bridge Division? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Item 19 on the agenda, Ken Lance with the Transportation Planning Division.
Good morning. I'd like to ask for your approval this morning of a contract to conduct a study to assess transportation improvements needed to the I-95 corridor, beginning with the interchange of Route 95 and 802 in Hanover County through the I-95 Route 54 interchange in the town of Ashland, and ending with the interchanges of 95 and 30 in Hanover County. The proposed contract with the firm of Kimley Horn and Associates has a maximum compensation of $499,990.61 and a net fee of $24,465.17. The contract, which would be administered by state planning and research funds, which are federal funds administered by the Transportation Planning Division, is for the purpose of examining existing traffic conditions along this corridor, developing and analyzing future traffic year conditions, considering proposed land use around the interchanges, making recommendations for operational and capacity improvements, and preparing conceptual plan drawings and cost estimates for planning purposes. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Ken,
Mr. Kornblatt.
This isn't program money, then?
That's correct. These are planning funds that are for the specific purpose of planning. They cannot be used for actual design and construction.
But as we all know, when we start planning something and we start studying something, expectations are raised.
Right.
When I was first appointed on the board, I was on a committee studying the Bryan Park interchange and that whole area on 95. Right. I mean, is this something that is going to raise expectations, possibly in Hanover County, of an imminent project?
Mr. Kornblatt, I think that the benefit, the purpose of this is more to allow us to work with the local governments to identify the needed improvements that will be necessary in order to accommodate the development that we know is going to take place around here. And hopefully this will serve, number one, as a guide to the local governments, allow them to work with us in terms of establishing zoning and land use around the interchanges, and secondly, to help perhaps establish some very preliminary estimates on the scope and the cost of the improvements, such that as funds become available down the road, it will be there. So that it is a two-edged sword, but I think we do a disservice to the public if we don't,
I think it's very important for them to plan for land use around
right.
future improvements, but when we're talking future based on today's picture, future's a long way off, and
yes,
I just don't
is.
Want anyone's expectations right. to be raised.
I think we need to be very realistic in that regard as we go through this process and emphasize that although we will be working with a consultant, assuming this is approved, to develop these plans, that it will be some time before they will come to fruition.
Mr. Secretary. I would urge us, following Mr. Kornblatt's comment, I would urge us to make sure we carry that message in all of our planning work. I mean, obviously, you have to plan. So is it going to raise expectations? It's going to move them from zero to something.
Right.
It's incumbent on us and the people we hire to work for us to clearly communicate and not become advocates for doing something
right.
at a particular time. I mean, this is a need, conceptual needs assessment.
That's
basically.
Correct.
Let's just be sure we clearly communicate that picture.
Yes, sir.
This is all federal money, too.
Right. These are federal state planning and research SPR funds. Right.
Can't do anything.
Yeah. I move for approval.
All right. Been moved. We have a second. All right. Move a second. Further discussion.
What road is 802? Where is that? What is it?
802, I believe, is the one just north of 295.
It's Lewistown.
Lewistown Road?
It is in
Lewistown.
Lewistown? I think so.
Lewistown.
Any further discussion? All right, all in favor of the motion to adopt the resolution to enter that consultant agreement? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Next, Calvin Bowles, location and design projects, on action on the L&D project.
Mr. Secretary, may I ask a question?
Yes.
I got a letter, and I know some other people got a letter from Mr. Davies that he wouldn't be here. And I don't know, was this part of that, Mr. Bailey, on what he asked?
Yes, it was.
It was?
Yes.
Yes. What? I just want to make sure that we don't do something he doesn't want us to do.
Right.
I can't speak to that.
Well, I know I got one. I don't know who else got a letter.
All right, Mr. Bowles.
We have six projects today. The first one is Route 3 in Culpeper County at Stevensburg. The corridor from Fredericksburg to Culpeper has been approved for the four laning. In the process of doing that, the board instructed us to go back and study the area around Stevensburg. And we did so. We came up with two alternatives for the project at Stevensburg. The first alternative, number one, provides four lanes, four 12-foot lanes with 40-foot graded median on a new location passing around the north side of the existing town. The alternate number two would widen the existing road to provide ultimately four 12-foot lanes widening to the north side of the existing pavement. And this would follow the existing alignment through the town. The location and design hearing was held in May 2001 at the district office. 35 citizens attended the hearing. We had 28 comments in favor of alternate number one, and we have a resolution from the County Board of Supervisors supporting alternate number one. There were seven comments in favor of alternate number two. The average daily traffic is 6,500 vehicles per day. And for the design year, this is expected to increase to 11,000 vehicles per day. There are no families, businesses, or nonprofit organizations displaced by either alternative. There are no significant environmental impacts. However, one property on alternate number two would be in an agriculture and forestry district. The construction cost for this project is estimated to be almost $9 million. The project would be ready for advertisement in 2007. In the current six-year plan, this is shown in the development portion with funding for PE and right-of-way no funding for construction. As mentioned earlier, we do have a resolution supporting alternate one from the Board of Supervisors. Staff recommends approval of the location and major design features for alternate number one.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to comment, this is in Mr. Davies' area, but that Route 3 corridor, as most of you all know, greatly affects Fredericksburg. As a matter of fact, we're hoping when financial and fiscal times are a little bit better, that the widening of Route 3 coming on back a little bit closer to Fredericksburg, past the Spotsylvania Mall, heading in that direction, will be able to be looked upon maybe with this esteemed group a little bit more favorably, hopefully in the future. But I'm hoping that you all can recommend for the approval of recommendation number one for this one.
Okay.
Second.
All right, let's save the table in the block. All right, next one.
The second project is the intersection of Road 29 Business and Road 29 in Chatham, Pennsylvania County. The purpose of this project is to replace an existing loop ramp from the east side of the interchange, to replace that with two new ramps to facilitate operations of the interchange. The combined location and design hearing was held in January of 2002 at the Central Middle School. We had 19 citizens attend, received 3 written comments. The estimated construction cost for the project is about $1.25 million. Believe in the 6-year plan, it now shows advertisement early in 2004. Right away, we'll replace one family, but will not displace any businesses or nonprofit organizations. The project will provide 16-foot travel way on each of the ramps with a 6-foot shoulder and, on the left and 11-foot shoulder on the right. The projected traffic for the ramps is approximately 520 vehicles per day in 2023. Staff recommends approval of location and major design features as they were presented at the public hearing.
For the board's information, if you look at your map, it's a little more than just being the upgrade and whatnot. If you look where the north indicator is there, just to the west of it, that's a proposed industrial park, Pennsylvania County there, that will be built with tobacco fund monies that have been proposed to the tobacco commission. This property in now, the state has, the Department of Economic Development has long viewed it as prime industrial site with a rail siding and all that's in there. It's been on Pennsylvania County's scope for many years to develop this piece of property out there. The western project of the Diamond Interchange there, this project before you today is phase two. Phase one was done about 3 or 4 years ago. So we've been working on this thing for about 8 or 9 years to bring it into play for an industrial park. And that's what it is completing phase two of this proposed development thing. I think you're going to take these as a block.
Next.
The next project is Route 220 in Bodytot County. This is a section between Iron Gate and Eagle Rock. The purpose of the project is to continue the dual laning of Route 220. A combined L&D hearing was held in January 2002 at the Eagle Rock Elementary School. 38 individuals appeared. We had 4 verbal and 7 written comments. This particular project is contained in the development portion of the 6-year plan. It's funded for PE only at this time. The preliminary engineering cost is about $3.5 million spread over 3 sections or 3 projects. The first of these could be ready to advertise for construction by mid-2006. As proposed, there are no families, businesses, or nonprofit organizations that will be displaced by the projects. Basically, on each end of this segment, we have four 12-foot lanes with a graded median in between. The middle section would have five 12-foot lanes with curb and gutter. The center lane would serve as a turn lane. The average daily traffic volume for 2000 is approximately 6,000 vehicles per day, and this is expected to increase to approximately 9,000 by 2026. The Botetourt County Board of Supervisors has passed a resolution in support of the location and major design features of this project, and staff recommends approval of the location and major design features as they were presented at the public hearing.
Any questions on that?
The next project is Route 231. It's a bridge replacement over White Oak Run in Madison County. The bridge, the proposed bridge, will be shifted just to the east of the existing one to facilitate maintenance of traffic during the construction. The location and design hearing was held in March of 2002 at the Madison County High School. 10 citizens attended. We received 4 verbal and 5 written comments. The estimated construction cost is about $1.25 million. This should be ready for advertisement by late 2003. There are no families, businesses, or nonprofit organizations displaced by the project. When constructed, it'll provide 2 12-foot lanes with 8-foot shoulders. The current traffic count is about 3,800 vehicles per day. This is expected to increase to roughly 6,350 by 2026. Staff recommends approval of the location and major design features as presented at the public hearing.
Any questions?
The next project is Route 460 in Prince George County. This is a widening of the existing road just east of the intersection of 460 and 295. The purpose is to provide a fifth lane so that the center lane can be used for left turns. The location and design hearing was held in January 2002 at Prince George County Building. 9 citizens attended. There were 4 written and no oral comments. The project construction cost is estimated at a little over $1 million. This project is scheduled for advertisement early in 2004. There are no residences, businesses, or nonprofit organizations displaced by the project. As I said earlier, this will provide essentially 5 12-foot lanes using the center lane for turning. There'll be a 10-foot shoulder on the north side and curb and gutter on the south side. The average daily traffic in 1998 was 13,750, and it's anticipated to rise to 31,750 by 2022. The department recommends approval of the location and major design features as they were shown at the public hearing.
Any questions? Let me ask you one thing. In this particular proposal, you show that it's an 80% federal, 20% regional STP funds, the funding source. But on some of these others, you don't mention it. Is that because it's all state funds? If there's no reference to the source of funding?
No, sir. To be very candid, it sort of depends on who writes up that particular piece of information for you. Many of the projects have split sources of funding.
Any other questions? All right, next.
The last project is Route 658, Scratch Gravel Road in Smith County. The purpose of this project basically is to widen the pavement and the shoulders and generally improve the drainage structures. The work will follow the existing road location. A combined hearing was held in April 2002 at the Marion High School. 50 citizens attended. We received 3 verbal and 6 written comments. The construction cost is estimated at $2.25 million. However, it is not funded at the moment for right-of-way or construction. An advertisement date will be determined when funding becomes available. As currently proposed, the project would displace 3 families, no businesses or nonprofit organizations. The project will provide 2 12-foot lanes with 5-foot shoulders. The current traffic count is 1,150 vehicles per day. This is expected to increase to about 1,950 vehicles today per day by 2015. The Smith County Board of Supervisors continues to include this project in the 6-year plan and thus demonstrates their support for the project. Staff recommends approval of the location and major design features of the project as they were presented at the public hearing.
Any questions on that?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to thank staff for moving this forward. Kevin, thank you all. Much needed.
My second.
Yes, Gary.
I noticed that the right of way is 50% of the construction cost there. Is there something unusual about the right of way?
It probably is a little more right of way impact than you might normally associate with this, because essentially you're widening on each side of an existing roadway, so you're clipping off the fronts of a number of properties as you go through.
And these residences sit, as a lot of them do, on your
close to the road.
Narrow secondary roadways, set close to the road, and so you're displacing some residences.
And in
as
certain
well
cases, you're hitting the septic lines and that type of thing.
Smith County real estate's expensive, isn't it?
Pretty rocky, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, do we have a motion to adopt these?
So moved. Second.
Just a minute. Do we have a number?
Yeah, we got them all.
All right, been moved and seconded. We adopt these proposed resolutions in block. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you, sir. Next, DRPT, Kevin Page on the rail industrial access projects, 2 of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Good morning. The first project applicant is Global Stone James River Incorporated. The project will be located in Botetourt County, Virginia. The applicant is requesting assistance to help them in the construction of 300 track feet, 3 implant switches, and rehabilitate about 1,700 feet of track at their James River quarry facility. This is a plant expansion that will bring 2,500 annual car loads to a total of 7,000 plus for the year. 6 new jobs will be created, $2 million will be invested, and the request of DRPT and the Commonwealth Transportation Board is $300,000. I'll turn the floor over to Mr. White, Chairman of the RTH.
I would suggest you go on to the second one.
Okay, well, doing a block. Thank you, sir. Our second applicant is Owens Brockway Plastic Products Incorporated, located within the town of Alta Vista. This project calls for the construction of 955 track feet and an estimated cost of $300,000. This project is in concert with a plastics manufacturer generating 104 annual car loads, 30 jobs, and a 6.6% unemployment area. And the request of the $14.5 million capital investment, they asked you for $300,000 of DRPT rail access funds. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, these were discussed this morning at the HOV committee, and they are good projects, and I move that we approve them.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on those proposed resolutions for the rail industrial access funds? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Next is John Faniel on the action on the DRPT annual budget, which was presented yesterday in some detail.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, board members, I would like to request your approval on action for the DRPT annual budget for fiscal year 2002-2003 as presented yesterday at the workshop.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Next, Chip Badger.
Morning again, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. In an earlier action, you all approved the six-year plan. All the public transportation projects are, in fact, part of that. This resolution, while it may seem a little bit redundant, does provide us specific documentation that we can show to the Federal Transit Administration that the board approves the federal grant, that it authorizes the director to submit the appropriate grant applications, and that it also allows the director to amend the program during the year should it be necessary. So we do ask for your approval of this resolution.
Move for approval.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The Fredericksburg Mass Transit System, FRED bus system, would like to thank Mr. Badger and his committee and his staff for all the work that they've done. We're very proud of our very small but very beneficial mass transit system over the past 4 years. And Mr. Badger, since I've been on board just in these past 2.5 months, he's personally come up and worked with me to help better understand the funding and everything, and does a fine job. I'd like to thank him and his staff for being very sensitive to making sure that I had the materials that I needed, and we appreciate his work and his staff's work.
Thank you. Any other business? Kenny?
I would just like to announce that this evening at 7:30 at the North Virginia Community College Annandale campus, there will be the final meeting of the Transportation Coordinating Council of Northern Virginia, which goes out of business at the end of this month to be replaced by the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. The commissioner is going to be our guest speaker, and I understand, Mr. Commissioner, that Mr. Farley's office has been in touch, and there's some context in your remarks now.
There are indeed.
The TCC was sort of invented by Governor Wilder and then Secretary John Milliken to be a unofficial, non-legal MPO for the Northern Virginia region, since we are part of the Washington, D.C. MPO. And it has acted for the last 11 years as an unofficial consensus body. So it will go out of existence, as I said, to be replaced on July 1 by the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. Any of you all in the area, come by.
Also, Randy Lineberg is not here today. He did the death in her family to one of her children's in-laws. So. Might mention that to her. I'm sorry, Hobie.
Well, I've been quiet today, actually, I think.
Well, that's a...
that's a feather in his cap.
I was going to say that's debatable.
But I frankly have been reflecting a lot over the last 24 hours about what we have done over the last 4, 5, 6 months. I think that there's obviously been a lot of hard decisions to be made across the board. I frankly think that the VDOT staff, the commissioner, secretary, and everybody have done an outstanding job of not only getting the facts together, but getting them together for us so we can be involved, General Assembly members involved. So I really applaud you for getting those things to us so we can become part of that process. We talked a little bit yesterday. There's a lot of organizational things going on. I think very positive things. The things I saw yesterday at lunch were things that we should do as a business anyway. I see that you can build upon that so we can do some better ways of understand how we do things and have it available to a lot more people. There's a lot of short-term things to get fixed. I still have some concerns on long-term goals about what we do as a department. You know, we've gone through this budget process. We looked at projects. Talking with Roy last night, you know, we were talking about in his program, he's been doing a lot of the little things, but it's difficult to do the mega projects, I'll call it, and it's true in any district around the state. Program that we have right now really keeps us, you know, above water, but it's really so important that some of the things that are coming up this November are so important to things around the state, both in the Tidewater area, in Northern Virginia area, and it's really all over the whole state. Those decisions are so important for transportation issues around this state, quality of life issues, business growth. And one thing I discovered as being on this board, you know, we tended to look at individual projects, but frankly, we need to look towards corridors and how they all work within interconstruction districts. Route 29 is an example, goes in multiple districts. The Route 28 project, when we first started looking at that, we were trying to fix interchanges here, but when you look at it, you see the things break down along the road. So you really need to look at corridors. And of course, when you look at corridors, you're talking about big dollars. And I'm not sure that the program under the current revenue source can do that without going outside the box and looking for major sources of capital like the referendum issue does, or other sources or new ideas we haven't thought about. The use of FRANS is sort of fix things on an interim basis, but it's a dangerous road to follow about doing things in the future with it. And I'm glad to see that at least we're taking a little more conservative route about not trying to use these things. We do them now to fix the program, but there's a cost associated with it. We can't do that in the future. So I think it's imperative as us as a board to not only keep in touch with you with the organizational thing and help you along if you get feedback, but I think it's also imperative as a board too to come up with some ideas about what are some things we haven't thought about to create some solutions. Getting involved in these referendum issues is so important, not just in our individual district, but it has statewide implications. If we can do some things to help Northern Virginia and the Tidewater area, maybe there's some things outside the box we can look at I-81 or the Route 29s. Go to the General Assembly to help men, let them understand where our needs are and help these funding sources. There's a lot of unbelievable amount of work that's ahead. And I'm hoping here next month to continue with that. And I appreciate working with this board and the staff especially.
Thank you.
Secretary?
Yes.
I'd like to follow up just on a section of what Hobie said about looking at corridors. As we've approved the six-year plan today, in my district, the 29 corridor, we have a slight setback on the 29 corridor as a result of where we are. But I recognize, and I think everybody else recognizes, it's one of those things that we're going to have to do right now for a while, until we can regroup on what we need to do south of Lynchburg. We don't have the money to do it. It's not that we're not interested, because I'm very much concerned about that 29 corridor, but it's just one of those situations where you just got to step back and take another look at it. I want to thank the commissioner. I want to thank Whit, Barbara, all the financial staff for the session yesterday. It's always good to revisit the statutes that drive this thing, and it helps each and every one of us to maybe remember what's going on now. And I think it served another purpose too, to help maybe Ed and Ambrose, right, and the new board members come on to realize, to see where all of this formula and structure goes from. That plays a vital part in what we do. We may want to do something, but we're just prohibited from doing it. But the last 6 months have been, in my opinion, have been a renewal of our efforts in education in this agency and the service that it provides out there to the state. And while we're having to cut back and drop back, we all recognize the needs that are there, that what's got to be done in the future. And I'll shut up.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Thank you for those comments. Anything else to come before us today? If not, we stand adjourned. Thank you very much.